should regional and rural students have the same quality education as city students? The Holsley Report into the Independent Review into Regional, Rural and Remote Education has been released, and a number of recommendations have been identified. Country Education Foundation's Chief Executive Officer Wendy Cohen says the final report clearly articulated the problems facing regional, rural and remote students and offered realistic and achievable solutions. So what are they? Wendy Cohen joins us now. Good morning, Ms. Cohen.
Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, good to have you with us. What were the main points that stood out to you in this report?
Well, of the four key priorities, the one that really resonated most with the work that we do at Country Education Foundation, which is supporting high school leavers into transitioning into higher education and TAFE and that sector study, was the focusing on the transitions in and out of school. You know, there's really important times in a young person's life when they're facing, you know, significant challenge, financial, cultural, social challenge. And it's really gratifying to see that this report focuses on that area in particular. What was most pleasing as well was the recognition and the acknowledgement of the significant challenge that country kids face, and really shining a light on the importance of overcoming those challenges holistically. So one of the key areas that was discussed in the report was that we need a truly national approach to addressing the challenges and working together to deliver some really great outcomes and to close the participation gap that exists. So it's calling on government, it's calling on philanthropic organisations, it's calling on NGOs, it's calling on teachers, parents, the whole community to really get behind young people in the country and work together to offer them some great solutions and opportunities.
Okay, so what's currently missing in the system then that this needs to happen?
Oh, well, I think a coordinated effort.
Right.
Certainly there are a lot of organisations like Country Education Foundation that are doing some really great work, but on a smaller scale. The government itself has some great programs, including HEP, which is the Higher Education Pathways and Participations Program, various study allowances and help loans and that sort of thing is wonderful. And I know that, you know, schools in isolation and universities as well have their own programs for participation. But I think what is really lacking and where the opportunity lies here, most importantly, is that Professor Halsey has suggested that we, you know, really unify as a sector and as a community to address some of these major systemic issues and really start the conversation around the importance of a variety of opportunities. So I think one issue that country kids face is that they're almost compartmentalised into specific areas of endeavour. So there's an expectation perhaps for a particular cohort that they won't leave their community, or that they will only, you know, study at TAFE or apprenticeship, or they'll only go to university. I think one of the key recommendations in this is that it's a broad church, which is certainly what the Country Education Foundation supports as well, so that you should be able to have any and all opportunities afforded you when you're seeking, you know, the next step after your high school education.
A moment ago you mentioned how it has to be more of a national movement to improve the education, quality of education in regional, remote and rural areas. But in practical terms, let's break it down. How does that work?
Well, one very specific example, which is one of the recommendations out of the report, is the improvement of internet and, you know, information technology access via NBN or whatever platforms, you know, we're talking about, but IT literacy as well. So really utilising all of the technology that we have at hand and emerging technologies and future technologies to overcome the huge geographical distance that a lot of students face at high school and primary school, and then of course at universities. But I think it's about breaking down those geographical and financial barriers, and some of the recommendations of course focus on accommodation and travel and really, you know, specific ways that we can address some policy settings to make it easier for young people to leave their communities, leave their parents and their peers and their friends, and travel significant distance and suffer, you know, particular challenges in terms of social dislocation and cultural shock when they perhaps go to a metropolitan university for the first time. Looking at ways that we can use some regulations and requirements around renting accommodation, for example, around a unified bus pass system, you know, really practical ways that we can break down some of those significant barriers that kids face when they've got to leave home and travel to a city, for instance.
It's really interesting to see how the education delivery of education has changed so much over the years. Once upon a time, if you lived in a regional area, you went to the local school. If you were lucky enough, you went to university. If not, you got an apprenticeship. That was pretty stock standard. Although that still exists, we're looking at, as you mentioned, with technology, the evolution of change in education or delivering of education has changed dramatically in the last few years, hasn't it? Particularly, I'm just thinking here in New South Wales, there's the country university centres that have just been established through the New South Wales government. There's one here. People don't have to leave their community. They can actually study locally and actually have a facility to go to. I mean, how much of those sorts of things will make a difference to the quality of education that's being delivered?
Well, I think enormous amount of change and improvements and increased accessibility. And it's really just a metaphor for life in general, isn't it? I mean, we're all that much more connected in everything that we do, you know, professionally, in our home lives, in our education spaces. So I think that the establishment of such study centres is fabulous and really does help those communities. But I think more importantly, that is one part of the conversation about increasing opportunities and scope and aspirations for young people when they really come to the crossroads and they have to decide what they want to do. There's a beautiful quote in the report that says that a student might ask, am I learning so I can leave my community? Am I learning so I can stay locally? Or am I learning so that I can have a real choice about what I do? And that really is the crux of the matter, is that country kids for so long have not had those choices. They've been relegated to a certain path that has been predetermined by either their community or the fact that they have geographical disadvantage or they have financial disadvantage. And really, I don't think that city kids have had to ask that. The conversations around students based in metropolitan areas wouldn't be that. It would be always, I can do whatever I want. So I think it's about time that country kids have that opportunity, and I think this is really, you know, a once-in-a-generation opportunity to afford those opportunities to country kids in rural and regional Australia. And why shouldn't they have all of the opportunities that their, you know, city cousins have?
Yeah, it's certainly a different experience. There's a big gap between city education and country education, isn't there, for people when you've got to consider the travel side of things and the distance side of things. But so I believe this report was an accumulation of reports. I think the Country Education Foundation, which you're a part of, are submitted to the report, and also many schools and education services. Is that right?
Yeah, so it was an inquiry, a review, that was announced 12 months ago, and submissions are called and submitted by a variety of individual students, for example, major universities, schools, NGOs, charities such as ourselves, a really diverse group of really passionate and committed groups of people and individuals who really want to see some actual change. So I'm you know, really welcome this report and really urge the government to work with us and work all together to implement these recommendations. It's incredibly important.
So that's the next step, Ms. Cohen, is to now use this report to lobby and to try to get a better policy for regional students. Is that right?
A better range of policies, but also an acceptance that we have to sit down as a collective and you know, sit around a table and nut out some of these solutions, because I think that the report very clearly distills the issues, very accurately represents what those challenges are and the best ways to overcome them, and I think that the government is very open to this. I mean, Some of Birmingham's response, the government's response, has been very positive, To date, they've demonstrated a commitment to improving outcomes for country kids and overcoming the disparity that exists. So I'm really, really confident and optimistic about where this report's going to lead us and the changes that, that are affected. So that organisations like Country Education Foundation, which is, you know, offering financial support and other support to these kids, can join with like-minded organisations and individuals and make some real change.
Great. Ms. Cohen, thank you so much for your time this morning. Wendy Cohen is the CEO of Country Education Foundation.